look at a picture of your children taken 4 years ago. Wow, what a change. All of this is by way of introduction to the fact that Elmer has announced to the board he plans to retire on September 30th, 1988, 6 weeks from now. The board was told about this a month ago so that we could start working our way through the grieving process before our annual meeting. That has only been partially successful. Tonight, as we give thanks to God for his grace in the bread and wine, let us also give thanks to God for his creation at Holden under the leadership of his servant, Elmer Witt.
Welcome to the feast. Tonight is the eve of the Feast of Mary, the Mother of our Lord, and so that's the special focus of our celebration tonight. We'll be using the text appointed for Mary's festival day. Before we begin, just a few notes. I also want to make sure everybody can see a copy of the service. Are there people that don't have access to one? We might need to do a little redistribution here. Can you raise your hand if you don't have one that you're sharing with somebody? Great, okay. Just a few notes. The cross behind me was created a few years ago for Holden Village. The art was done, the panels were painted by Salvadoran refugees living in Mexico, and the cross was assembled here, put into the mahogany wood here at Holden Village. And it's one of the many worship furnishings that reminds us of our global connection as we worship here. We'll give the communion instructions later in the service. There will also be a time for intercessory prayer. So if you have special thanksgivings, concerns in your life, there will be a time for those prayers following the sermon. And one other request, we'd really like to ask that there not be flash pictures during the service, please. We'll begin with the order for confession and reconciliation. Please stand. In the name of God, the living God, who creates us, redeems us, forgives us, and renews our life each day.
Amen.
As a shepherd seeks lost sheep,
so God seeks and saves us.
As a woman rejoices over finding a lost coin,
so God rejoices over sinners who repent.
Let us confess our brokenness, our self-deception, and our need for God's forgiveness and reconciliation. Holy God, we confess our failure to live as your people. Across the barriers that divide race from race,
reconcile us, O Christ, by your cross.
Across the barriers that divide rich from poor,
reconcile us, O Christ, by your cross.
Across the barriers that divide men and women, young and old,
reconcile us, O Christ, by your cross.
Across the barriers that divide us within this Holden community,
reconcile us, O Christ, by your cross.
Jesus Christ has died and was raised for us. In Christ, God forgives us all our sin and reconciles us to God, to one another, and all creation.
Thanks be to God.
Continue on the yellow sheet with the Kyrie.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Oh,
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you chose the Virgin Mary to be the mother of your only Son. Grant that we who have been redeemed by his blood may share with her in the glory of your eternal kingdom through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Instead of your shame, you shall have a double portion. Instead of dishonor, you shall rejoice in your lot. Therefore, in your land, you shall possess a double portion. Yours shall be everlasting joy. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, who has clothed me with the garments of salvation and has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels.
To you, O Lord, I lift my song. To you I lift my soul. To you, O Lord, I lift my song. To you I lift my soul. Lord, make me know your ways. Teach me your paths and keep me in the way of your truth. For you are God, my Savior. To gently leading the poor and the humble. To you, O Lord, I lift my soul. To you I lift my soul. To the ones who seek you,
But when the completion of the time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born a subject of the law, to redeem the subjects of the law, so that we could receive adoption as children. As you are children, God has sent into our hearts the Spirit of His Son, crying, Abba, Father. And so you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then an heir by God's own act.
Continue with the gospel verse on page 2.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, who has looked with favor on me, a lowly serving maid. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me, holy. The name of the Lord, whose mercy is on the God-fearing from generation to generation. The arm of the Lord is filled with strength, scattering the proud-hearted. God hurled the mighty from their thrones, lifting up the lowly. God filled the hungry with good things, sending the rich away empty. God has come to the help of Israel, the Lord's servant, remembering mercy, the mercy promised to our forebears, to Abraham, and to his children forever. The Gospel of the Lord. God, who on many occasions and in a variety of ways spoken in times past to our ancestors by the prophets and the prophetesses, has in these last days spoken to us by the Christ. And I'm glad. And also my neck is tight for the emotional response to the words of Duane, to the kindness of Marty, and to that lovely, lovely choir, and to Jane Austen's voice, which I trust will last into eternity. It's really easy being director of Holden Village. You just gather a lot of people like Duane and Marty and Jane and all the rest, and it's a snap. And I'm glad for that, too. Well, I'm in love with Mary. My life's been filled with Marys. Mary Witt, of course, and Mary Carlson, and Mary Freund, and Mary Wright, and dear Mary Myers, who wrote me just a week ago about her struggles. I'm glad Mary Steinauer is right down here too as well. And now also indeed the Virgin Mary, or as Elizabeth called her, the Mother of our Lord. This is new to me. I think, let's see, next month it'll be 41 years that I've been in the ordained ministry. I think this is the second time that I've preached about the Virgin Mary. I grew up in a mighty Lutheran suburb outside of Chicago, 3 Lutheran churches in town. The largest that I belonged to had 2,800 adult members. And St. Bernardine's on the other side of town, on the other side of the tracks indeed, at Elgin and Harrison Street, they were sort of the enemies in our town, and no small part of it was because they talked a lot about the Virgin Mary. And I didn't know when I was age 17 and my father died, and his body was lying in state in our little home, that when 7 priests from St. Bernardine's parish came to pay their respects, that it was really a sign of a new day, that my dad, bless his heart and his memory, a trustworthy layman, was way ahead of his time. And so we ought to be acquainted better with Mary as Lutherans and Protestants, and especially for the gorgeous song that she left us. Maybe she was the Marty Haugen of her day, I don't know. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Her story, almost unbelievable in the lip on the lips of what at least Martin Luther thought was about a 12-year-old girl. Carol Nolte told a marvelous story the other day at a Bible study that she saw a morality play down in California somewhere. If you don't believe there's a morality play in California, I can understand that. But, or if you can think of a better place to put on a morality play. That when the angel of the Lord comes on the stage to this little girl who is standing there, and the angel says, "Fear not," to Mary. Mary screams and runs off the stage, which is probably more like what would really happen. But Mary talks about the reversals that come when we recognize that God has looked with favor on each of us. From all that time on, she is called blessed because of what God was about. God scattered the proud-hearted, who always seemed to win, you know. God hurled the mighty from their thrones, lifting up the lowly. God filled the hungry with good things. God sent the rich away empty. God, and Martin Luther, by the way, always pointed out in preaching on this text, he preached on it much more than any Lutheran pastor I know. It's why he still have time, tough time getting a call in our circles today. He always reminded them, we are the rich. We are always the rich. And the scriptures speak of rich. And the poor are the ones that we are seeking to be like. And that God has helped Israel, the Lord's servant. We're more inclined to retribution than to reversals. Mary's rich, poor, proud, humble, rulers the people. Jesus Christ, the last shall be first. Love your enemies. There's a switch if you've ever seen one. Give to the one who asks. Don't ask Lutheran Social Service to check them out. Not externals count, but internals. Not words count. Reminder to all us pastors, but deeds. And if we're going to pray, do it in secret. And if you want to be chief of all, then be servant. And that even Christ is willing to take another step and call us no longer servants, but friends. These are echoes of the first lesson from Isaiah, where God promises vigor to the weary, where young people who think they always can do it all will fall, and those who look to Yahweh will never faint, and that there will be rivers in the sand dunes, and the slaves shall be free. We live in a time when reversals are long overdue. All the emphasis on power, when we are called to be weak, for God's grace is made perfect in weakness, when there are so many who are sick of body, mind, and spirit. As Rich Anderson reminds us of all the spiritual abuse there has been in the church and in families and in this country and on television, that sick are to be made well, that the earthy is important, but that it's swallowed up also in the spiritual, and that peace, that warmongers, and I'm afraid we'd have to join Martin and say most of us are warmongers of one sort or another, are to be made peacemakers. And so Mary had a baby. Flea-bitten nation. Nobody would have known about it, very likely, if it weren't for the promise of the child. She came from Nazareth. When I lived in Chicago, I always called that Nazareth was a Cicero of Palestine. I don't know what town you'd pick. I didn't at the time have any friends in Cicero. I don't say that anymore. And the king, the ruler, the God in the flesh, was born in a stable as a baby. And ever since, we live in anticipation of liberation. For Luke's story, in which this story and song of Mary is found, is all about being a child of God in the context of oppression that cries out for liberation. In our own day, the abusers of children that we must free children from, the neglectors of children that must be found and helped, the wasters of the earth to be led in respecters, to be respecters of the creation, the selfish change to be sharers, the distributors, I think that's a good word for it, the distributors of suspicion and violence be made not into Pollyanna pie-in-the-sky folks, but people who understand that there is good and ungood in all peoples, in all nations, in all the world, that the lonely can be filled with the presence of God and become somehow strangely, mystically open to others and confident of others' openness to them. It takes terrific internal tearing up to sing the song of Mary. For she represents the combination of the earth and the earthy and the divine and the grace of God. Into that physical body, God chose to put divinity. And maybe because we are afraid of the earth, of the creation, of the earthiness of women who menstruate and breastfeed and deliver children, that we are afraid of Mary and of God. Mary and women are more obviously co-creators of God than us who are called to be men. And in remembering her and in honoring her and in calling her blessed, we are again affirming the one who combines divinity within the humanity that has experienced, as that new film that I suppose everybody will see, The Last Temptation of Christ, is all about. I hope that you can see that film with Mary in mind. Because Mary is a woman, whom we understand, at least in this culture, at this time, to be able to feel deeply, more deeply than most of the rest of us, who have what we have come, perhaps lightly, maybe wrongfully, to call a gift called intuition, who seem, and the longer I live, the more I am convinced, to have more ability of compassion than do us men, who seem patient and forgiving, often in ways not only that men seldom are able to create, but often unable to understand. And so God exalts Mary, not because of all that she had, but because of God's wish and will. And I believe it was not a small decision that it ought indeed be a woman to bear the child of God, not come in some other way, not slide in some other door, not drop in from the sky, because God knew what he had created in women. And all nations are to call her blessed. And if we don't call her blessed, we reject God's will and way. Lutherans, pay attention. For grace enabled her to accept her call. Grace enabled her to carry the child. Grace enabled her to feel divinity within, whether she knew it or not. Grace enabled her to imagine, to pray, to wonder at the closeness to God. She is full of grace because God gives grace to the lowly. Martin Luther says there are three reasons why we must sing this song. And he said, ought sing it regularly, faithfully, week by week, to strengthen our faith, to comfort the lowly, and to terrify the mighty. As a group, we fit more properly in the category of the mighty. Most of us are white, the privileged group in our hemisphere. We're mostly middle class, living very comfortable lives, and rich, as we said before, by most comparisons. Many of us are male, another privileged group in our hemisphere. Many are highly educated, the intellectual elite, by most standards. Many of us hold jobs of respect and privilege. Some of us fit all these categories, some only a few. But Luther says the mightier you are, the more you must fear when you sing the Magnificat. We fear, however, because we sing in faith, believing God does bring down the mighty. It's risky to sing this song. It might mean moving from the center to the fringes. It might mean leaving theologically proper talk to engage in simple, frank discussions. It might mean risking our position, our safe places, our tenured life, and taking on places of risk. It might mean that we have to listen to the visions of the lowly and the uneducated. But we will risk singing the Magnificat in faith, knowing that fear leads to repentance, and repentance prepares for the coming of the rule of God. But we sing also to comfort the lowly, the hungry, the poor, the little ones. So often, people have to beg the church to regard them, these people, with the esteem which God gives to them. May I say that again? So often people who are poor and lowly have to beg the church to give these people the esteem that God has already given them. That we so have so much trouble hearing the longing for a God who comes not in mighty military conquest, nor in the forms of evangelism and church structures of a mighty church, but in a simple, compassionate respect and regard for the lowly, the hungry, the women, the poor, the children. And Luther reminds us that we sing the song to strengthen our own faith. We keep reciting this song one to another about the sort of God that we believe in, a God who has respect for the Marys of Nazareth, the vulnerable, pregnant, unmarried women, the God who rummages through the dump with the hungry, a God who cries when children are killed or women are raped, a God who sees visions with poor farmers and plants roses on their hillsides. A God calls us to love our enemies and teaches us that violence is always wrong. Holden invites you, that's what the place is about, to explore the kind of God we believe in and to sing the Song of Mary. Protestants in general and Lutherans in particular have dodged the Blessed Mother. We have underscored the mistakes of our Roman Catholic sisters and brothers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who made Mary co-redeemer. But we hide away and hide from our Protestant, our Lutheran mistakes of denying the feminine dimension and illuminations of God, and of how God deals with humanity. Mary can reveal this. She is the representative of Israel, from whom the Messiah comes. And to remember and revere and reflect on her is to reflect on our indebtedness to Israel, God's people of the everlasting covenant. Mary is not Roman Catholic. Mary is Jewish. And Mary is the symbol of the faithful community brought into being by Christ's death and resurrection. The whole world, the nations of the earth, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Germans, Swedes, Norwegians, U.S. citizens, Canadians, Cubans, citizens of the USSR, the whole world. Many white people coming to the village have said to me, "How come you guys got all these flags up here?" And I've tried patiently to explain how neat 2 weeks ago, when a black man coming here for the first time said to me walking up Chalet Hill, "Hey, what a great idea to have all these flags here. It speaks inclusiveness immediately." The oppressed saw what we oppressors fail to see. Mary is not Roman Catholic, Protestant, or Jewish. Mary is ecumenical, international, all-inclusive. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth the Son, Jesus the Christ, purposefully, meaningfully, importantly made of a woman, so that we might understand God, because God so often enables women to see and to perceive grace, and so often even to be grace to all of us and all creation. Blessed Mary, who reveals that God is bigger than we can dream, that in the midst of even when it did happen, many of the things she sang about never happened in her time. And yet she sang that it did. You know what that's called? It's called faith. What Lutherans talk about all the time. And that's what Mary is about. She believes God's promises. She must be a little Lutheran. Amen. The hymn is number 423 in the Book of Worship.
Take some time now for prayers. Invite your prayers for your own needs, the needs of our world, the needs of our Holden community. Please pray loudly so everyone can hear, and end your petitions with God in your mercy, or Lord in your mercy, and we'll all join in, hear our prayer. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, O God, for the gift of the gospel proclaimed to us in song and in word. We give thanks that we can sing your praise tonight. God, in your mercy. We give thanks for the cloud of witnesses surrounding us in the communion of saints. Thanks for Mary. Thanks for one another. Thanks for Holden saints. Tonight especially, we give thanks for Wes Priebe and Elmer Witt. God, in your mercy. Amen. We give thanks for global community, proclaimed to us especially these past 2 weeks in the Rainbow on the Mountaintop celebration. Give thanks for Edmund from Namibia, for Julia and Elizabeth from Germany, for Canadians, for people from all over the world, for Dumasani and Malefe, who are here with us from South Africa. We pray for safe travels for all those who return to far countries. We especially pray also tonight for our global friends who suffer, for Pastor Malefe Tsele, imprisoned in South Africa, and so many others who are prisoners. God, in your mercy. We pray tonight also for those who are sick, those who are lonely, sad, struggling with issues in their lives, for those who grieve. God, in your mercy. I invite your prayers at this time. Into your hands, O God, we commend all those for whom we pray, trusting in your great mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all. We'll sing the offertory on the bottom of the second page as the grains of wheat. Please stand. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and good that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, holy God, through Christ our Lord. In the blessedness of Mary and all your saints, you have given us a glorious pledge of the hope of our calling, that moved by their witness and supported by their fellowship, we may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and with them receive the unfading crown of glory. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Oh,
night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let's say together the Lord's Prayer using the contemporary version. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Just a few notes about Holden's unique way of serving communion. All are welcome to the feast who long to meet Jesus Christ in the bread and wine. We practice continuous communion. Please fill in on the floor around all four sides of the altar, including behind. Extend your hand to receive the elements. Both wine and grape juice are available tonight, wine in the common cup and grape juice in the individual glasses. The first server will have the wine. If you prefer to receive the grape juice, just shake your head or say grape juice, and then the second person will serve you. Well, no. Please communicate that fact to the servers. If you are sick, we ask that you take the grape juice rather than the common cup. Children are welcome to commune at the discretion of their parents. If you prefer to receive a blessing rather than the elements.
Elements.
Just let us know that also. Welcome to the feast. We'll now sing Lamb of God on the yellow sheet. And you can feel free to fill in.
That saved a wretch.
was blind, but now I see.
Next hymn is hymn number 212.
Thank you.
Now may the body and blood of Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace.
Amen. Amen.
We'll sing the song on the last page. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.